So there's a reason why we're here today, Carrie, isn't there?
There is.
Would you like to reveal the secrets to the world? And I mean, I'm not sure what camera we're looking at, but we have a super secret guest with us. Who I'm sure everybody watching this right now knows who he is.
Yes.
But depending on which camera angle, you might not have seen him yet.
So I can reveal why we're here first, and we'll reveal the guest.
Yeah.
Okay.
Talk to me.
So obviously there's a lot that go behind the scenes when it comes to building a business.
Yeah.
And I guess over the last 6 months, I've got it to position my business to a position where I want it to get bigger. I know I can get this business valued to a certain figure, but I want to double that, triple that. And there's only one way to do it. And I guess I'm going to tell you a bit of an analogy that I realized recently. We are working with a brand called Travel Republic, and Travel Republic sell holidays. They literally sell flights, tickets for flights on, you know, bums on seats on planes, or rooms in holidays in hotels. But one thing people don't realize is Travel Republic is owned by Donata. I don't know how to say it.
You see it when you land, right? You're like, what's that mean? I thought that was just the, you know, who does the catering and stuff, but it's everything, isn't
it? It's like Donata or Donata. I don't even know how to pronounce it, but essentially Donata own the fucking runway.
Yeah.
They own, you know, when you see the conveyor belts of the like suitcases going around, they own that. They own the full process of the aviation. Yeah. I think they even run like, you know.
We own aviation, that's their slogan.
It's crazy. So what you can see is rather than just owning one piece of the pie, such as, you know, selling seats on planes, why don't you own the full journey? And that's really how you scale a fucking big business.
Yeah.
And that's my thought process. I've got ideas, and I think there's only really one guy that I know has done not just building an agency, but then sold...
Yeah.
You know, own the runway.
Yeah, he's owning the runway.
He's owning the runway. He's owning the flight space.
That's a big introduction. Mr. Craig Campbell. The man himself, the legend.
The legend.
The legend himself.
And I think it's safe to say, because we've never met properly.
Yeah.
Did we bump into each other once or not?
I think we might have. We must have.
At Brighton or something like that.
I would be flabbergasted if I didn't. But the problem I always get with these things is you meet people. Or you see people online, you're like, have I met them? Did I have a night out? Were we drunk? Like,
I think me and you, though, are hard to not remember. Because you know when you think, fuck, what's their Twitter handle again?
Yeah.
I mean, we're hard not to remember that's Craig Campbell or Jane.
Yeah, you're big personalities.
Like, hard to miss.
Yeah.
But yeah, no, so obviously, Ryan, you've known Craig for a long time.
Yeah.
And I've heard about you, or like I've heard about your stories of building different businesses, you know, owning different media sites, scaling affiliates. And I think it's safe to say you're not just an SEO. And I think I've always known you as an SEO. And obviously, I've spent the last 24 hours with you so far. We're here for the next 3 days. But I think there's so many angles to scaling a business that so many people don't know about. So yeah.
It would be cool for you to unpack maybe what else you've got in your repertoire. Because like people do know you as like the SEO personality, don't they? Like the big dog SEO dude.
So yeah, I think probably unfairly people will assume that I'm some hooky black hat guy that, you know, steals Nigel Farage's website and, you know, various stories like that.
Which is true.
Which is, you've got that in the bank.
It's kind of true, so people remember certain things like that, but they don't really know what else I do or what does he do. You know, I've had people going, you know, does Craig just talk at conferences? Does he actually fucking make any money? You know, you get people saying silly things like that all the time and you're like, if only you knew, like. So, you know, I've had an agency, I've got e-commerce stores, I've got affiliate websites, I've got businesses out with SEO, just like proper businesses. Not big, you know, big conglomerates or anything, but you know, I think for me, over the probably the last 5 years, I've always tried to diversify my income streams. And I utilize my personal brand for, you know, a bit of affiliate, you know, SEO stuff. I try and get consultancy training, whatever links, you know. I still love SEO, you know, I've always been an SEO, but I think having been in business for as long as I have, you know, you've obviously got this business thing. You know, I've had businesses that have shut down, liquidated, I've fucked up,
been through
lots
all
of things, you know, been through it all. So I think there's a lot more to what people think or what people see, and you still get people going, not sure about him, I don't know if he earns any money.
Why do you think the SEO industry are so bad for that? Like, as
we're
like one of the, I would say, and I've worked in, I've been an SEO for a long time, but it's definitely one of the worst for it. Like, they just disbelieve everything if it seems too good to be true. Like, why do you think people believe that or behave that way? Like, it's such a weird...
I don't know if people want. I think people can't see other people do well. Mm. You just can't. You'd be like, nah, Carrie Rose, fuck her. She can't be earning that money. She can't have those staff. She can't have, you know, the four offices. She's fucking lying.
But you hear it.
Yeah, you do.
Like, I've just got a client services director in my business, and she still is friends with old directors and staff at the old agency she used to work at, and they often have barbecues and parties and shit like that together. And she says, you know, Carrie, when I go to these barbecues, there's chatter. There's people say, oh, yeah, I've heard Rise 7 of, like, half their staff. I've heard that they've lost a big account. I'm like, where are they getting this shit from? And there's, like, mad rumours. And I'm like, who? But then I always remember there was rumours all the time about, can you remember Social Chain? Yeah. Always mad rumours about them, like negative stuff and stuff. And I remember at the time, one guy actually said, well, if I was jealous of something, I'd make up rumours as well.
Yeah.
Like, I'd say the same. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah.
You would, because it's jealousy.
It is.
And I do think, like, that I've heard stuff about Rise. I'm like, who the fuck's told you that? Apparently we've lost our biggest account and all this stuff. And I'm like, they haven't got a clue. So, yeah, it is mad, the rumours that go around. I do think people can't believe the unbelievable.
Yeah.
And I think often people see success and they... Yes, it's envy, but I think it's more a reflection of their own beliefs of what they can and can't do themselves.
One thing I would highlight, out of all of the people that have ever given me grief online, I know you laugh, right? The people online who give me grief are in jobs on a salary.
Mm-hmm.
So the jealousy thing kicks in. You know, they don't have the ability to go and build their own business. They're from a certain side of the industry who don't make any money.
Yeah.
You know, again, being an employee, you're not earning...
The same level of money.
The same level of money. And obviously that's then going to create jealousy, envy, and everything else that goes on. And no matter what, I've never had someone who's doing well for themselves criticise me, ever. It's always
people that aren't doing well for themselves. Yeah. Well, that's what we was on about this morning. You will never, like, there's people I don't like.
Yeah.
I don't really hate people in life. Mm. There's a couple of people I don't like.
Mm-hmm.
But you will never, ever see me in any way attack someone online.
Yeah.
Whether it's their power, their business, whether they're shit at their job. I know 100 people I could list now that are shit at their job.
Yeah.
You would never see me publicly to say anything like that. But it's just mad, the people or the level of people that are all right with that.
Yeah.
So successful people don't do that.
It's accepted as well.
Yeah.
And it's almost encouraged a little bit. Like, we see it on Twitter all the time, don't we? Like, there was a recent example, someone made a lot of money using AI content. There was a certain group of people jumped on it and attacked that person, but it wasn't attacking their work, it was attacking them.
Yeah.
And it's like, what makes the SEO industry go past that boundary of, right, they've done shit work, but now they're more so going to send death threats. And I just, but you, and how long have you been doing it for? 20 years? And you, like, the thick skin.
Do you think it's got worse or not? Or do you think it's always been like this?
Has it?
I was thinking, like, I have no idea. Like, I didn't know if it was like a pandemic, like a depression thing.
Obviously, you're not always up there, like, as terms of being as known.
Yeah.
It takes you time. So I think you're probably naive to it because you're not known.
Yeah.
But once you start, you know, becoming more known, you're like, oh, shit, like, this is not all I thought it would be.
Yeah.
But the one other thing I was going to say as well, most of the people who criticise me are people whom I've never met, never worked with, never even fucking spoken to.
Yeah.
So how they possibly think they've got some opinion on me when they know next to nothing. My wife doesn't even know half the shit that I've been drawn in business. So how the fuck would they know? I have no idea.
I'm going to tell you a story. There was a period in Rise at 7 where I got fucking annihilated online.
Yeah,
I'm talking random shit. Like, I had woke up one day, 25 reviews wrote about us that was completely fucking a load of crap. We had a fake email address being created that emailed my clients. We had a Twitter handle that I created that boycott Rise at 7. It was just 24/7. And, like, you know, I was getting personal messages about me, about my body, my, like, literally attack. And I was depressed.
Yeah.
I always remember, so I ain't told you guys this actually. So, can you remember the guy that I went to get advice around my management buyout?
Yeah.
Remember me telling you?
Yeah.
There was one moment that I went and met him and said, I've got a few issues in my business that I need help with, I need advice. And a lot of them was this online trolling shit and attacking and all this crap. And people problems, you know, that was just shit. And I swear, this guy, his business is worth about 300 mil, maybe 400 mil, around that kind of mark. He looked at me.
Not bad.
He literally looked at me, laid back and went, no, tell me real problems.
So it's a mindset thing, right?
Yeah. He said, tell me real fucking problems.
Yeah.
He actually said to me, you're wasting my time. And I felt offended.
Yeah.
I was like, coming here with your shit, like, that's minute to me. I'm like,
almost comes with the territory. Yeah, that's what he's kind of saying, right?
Yeah. And he's like, this, like, bring me real fucking problems. Yeah. And I was there like, oh, okay, they're not real problems anymore.
Sorry.
Yeah, they're not real problems anymore. And then, what it made me, and I knew what he was doing.
Yeah.
It made me think they want big problems. Like, he does not give a fuck what people say. And to be the 400 mil business owner,
you've got to let that go.
You have to have that mindset. You have to let that go. You've got to take it with a pinch of salt. And I think that's one of the lessons that I guess learn is that guy telling me, no, tell me what your real problems are. And I was like, oh, shit, yeah. It's not actually a problem.
Did you ever have anyone like that?
Yeah.
Because obviously, like, you kind of come up, like, did all of this for yourself. Like, you didn't, it was a different time, I think.
Yeah, no, I didn't have, like, some dude that was worth 400 million.
I was quite lucky that.
It's a secret billionaire, mate.
So, I wasn't fortunate to have mates like that. But I did, obviously, speak to other people in the industry who had suffered similar levels of abuse. Yeah. Matt Diggity, Matthew Woodward, and Charles Float were three of a number of guys that I reached out to, and I'm like, dude,
what the fuck is this?
What is this? how do you deal with it? And, you know, I think obviously when it happens, and Carrie will know this, you take it personally at the start. You're like,
you do.
Yeah.
You bastard.
Yeah.
And you're on every single one. You know the names and everything.
Yeah, you do,
I used to know the fucking Nan's names and every fucking thing.
Fan on Facebook. Dude,
there was a fucking list being collected. And then it got to, there was another guy and another one and another one. And you're like, and I think for me, some of the guys, you know, that are different characters, like Charles is more volatile. So he bites back.
Yeah.
Diggity doesn't.
Oh,
like,
really?
Yeah.
I haven't seen it.
Oh, Charles.
Yeah, Charles loves it.
Really?
Yeah.
He likes it. Do you think he likes to, like, what do you call it, like, urge it on kind of thing a bit?
I don't think he.
I don't think he. I don't think he's that.
No.
But he will bite back. He will. He will go. He doesn't give
Don't give a fuck.
Whereas, you know, this is just my opinion, by the way. So if you're watching this, guys, this is just how I
Charles.
See. But, you know, guys like Diggity.
No, I think it's a good thing.
Diggity's a bit more introvert, where he doesn't like.
Yeah.
Like, you know, confrontation or volatility, and he would rather try and sort it out and talk things over. But so, you know, you're getting one guy going, just block and ignore, and you've got other people going, fucking say this and that. So, so you could definitely advise, but I think what Carrie says there, in terms of, you know, you have to be wary of your brand. As well, and you know, you're trying to run a business, and you know, you have to try and remain somewhat professional. Yeah. But you know, where I've been brought up in life is, if you say something, you get some back. Like, that's just tit for tat. And that's kind of been the way I brought up. So, you know, I found it difficult, and obviously I've said things online to people, blasted them online, thrown my hands around to Brighton. You know, I've been...
You've been around the block, mate.
middle of a few ruckuses, if you want to call it that.
See, I'm in a stage where I think over the last 4 years, I've never responded to any of it.
Mm.
But I think now, I'd say, who the fuck do you think you are?
Yeah.
You know what I mean? I think I would. Because I'm in a stage where I don't give a fuck anymore either.
Yeah.
Like, and I think... people often say, you know, you got things to lose and all that sort of thing. I'm like, what would I lose? Like, they're making themselves look like an idiot.
And if you weren't a risk taker, you wouldn't be successful in the first place, right? And it's... I know people love or hate him, but Andrew Tate, he must get 100 times what any of us would ever even receive. And it's like,
what's his name? Jordan
Peterson.
Peterson.
Yeah.
Crazy.
Like, the amount of.
And this guy is doing, or meant to be doing good for guys, right? Yeah. He's meant good for the world or whatever. Like, he's trying to do something positive, and he gets so much negative.
I think it's small mindedness.
Yeah.
I think genuinely people can't see, like, behind the curtain of, like, what success looks like.
Oh, yeah.
But they also don't understand what it takes to be successful. It's,
oh, none at all.
People just think it's just sat on a laptop jerking off on a beach, you know, making £1 million a month. You know, that's their perception. They think that's what, they look at you guys and they're like, yeah, they've got it easy.
One thing I'll say, and I don't think he'd mind me telling you this. So there was a day where I was walking into work and happy, you know, sun was shining. I was in a great mood. And I walked into the office and I felt it. I felt something like the scene was different, like the mood was down, and my HR team was stood there with Ken Wright, my co-founder at the time, and they looked at me and I was like, what? like, what? What's happened?
Shit, what's yeah. wrong?
Like, stood there facing me, and there's like, you don't know, do you? You haven't seen it. I was like, seen fucking what? Like, panic, you know? Like, what?
Who wants smoke? Who
yeah, like, what? Like, what is it? And essentially, there was stuff wrote about me online, just all a load of crap as well. And you can see it was all, like, written in the same language and, you know, one person basically writing a million things.
Yeah.
And I cried. I'll admit, there was a moment I sat there in this room and I cried to my HR team. And I remember looking at Ken Wright, and Ken Wright was so cold in his face. And I remember thinking, like, and I even said, like, does this not hurt you? And I remember thinking, actually, a lot of the things that was wrote about my business said Carrie.
Yeah.
And the CEO.
Because they see you as one thing.
Because, yeah. So they attacked me and my identity and my personality and Carrie Rose, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And I remember thinking, they're not mentioning you.
Yeah.
And I was thinking, why is that? And it's because obviously he's not as market facing as I was obviously at the time. So he never got personally kind of attacked in that way.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm going to say the day that he walked out of Rise at Seven, the reason he told me, one of the reasons he was leaving is he couldn't handle it anymore. So I don't think I looked at him thinking it didn't impact him.
Yeah.
I think it did. I think he struggled with his mental health.
Yeah, yeah.
He actually told me he hates the industry. He was like, I hate the way people are now. I hate the industry. I want out.
Yeah.
And I remember him saying that straight to me. And I remember thinking, okay, maybe it did impact you. And I thought it was me, just me, you know, personal to me. So.
Do you think you'd ever get there?
What? To hate the industry?
Yeah. Do you ever think you've been here a long time, you've been doing it a long time, you've experienced probably more than enough.
Are you there?
Yeah, do you think you're very...
Do you hate the industry?
Do you hate the industry? Like, yeah, what's your thoughts on the industry, the new people coming in compared to when you were doing it?
Like, I don't know as many of the new ones, right?
Yeah.
But it would be really unfair for me to sit and say I hate the industry.
Yeah.
I've met some amazing people from all over the world, great contacts, great people I would consider to be friends from the industry. So do I hate the industry? The answer is yes and no, but you know,
like love hate.
You know,
what do you hate about it?
I just hate the kind of bitchiness. There's a lot of sleaziness. There's a lot of fucking top level grease that we hear. You know, people, you know, on their LinkedIn. Yeah, everyone else is shite. Come and buy my fucking links. They're, you know, these ones are the best. Just like, come on, man.
Yeah.
You don't have to market yourself in this way or calling each other out. You know, there's a lot of people.
Like shooting people down to pull them up. Or what do they say it where it's like brighten, dull their light to brighten yours or something?
Yeah.
I hate that. So I hate to see that type of marketing, but I wouldn't say I hate the industry in general. There's a lot of good people in it, but there's a lot of inexperienced a lot of shit. People come through and they do that whole, you know, the ego goes through the roof and, you know, you've got a wee bit of a following and you think they're gangsters or, you know, whatever it is, you know, having a few quid and all hell breaks loose. So, I don't particularly, the best thing I can say is I'm very selective on where I go and who I associate with now in the industry.
In my opinion, so I think like just taking a broader look of business and community and all that sort of stuff, I think the world has lost a sense of community.
Mm-hmm.
And I think, you know, there's that saying of like we're here to help each other.
Mm-hmm.
Or on the other scale of that is dog eat dog.
Yeah.
I think it's dog eat dog. I think the industry is dog eat dog at the minute. I think there's no, I'm your pal, you're my pal, I've got your back, whatever. I think it's literally who is going to take the market share when it's so fucking volatile. I haven't got real friends anymore. I don't leave my fucking bedroom. I need to just make money for myself or make myself famous or get the most noise or whatever the hell it is, make the most money buying links, whatever it is. And I think it is dog-eat-dog world out there. And I think some people are taking that quite literal. And I think for people like us, you know, we're friends. We're here. We're going on a boat tomorrow. I think there's a different level of community and like we're here to, you know, enjoy the company while we build something successful.
Yeah.
But there's some people that don't. They're on their own and they're just comparing, right, I need to beat this guy. And the only way to do it is beating them online. That could be one thing.
I will say, because I've been on both sides. Like I've been agency, freelance, consultant. And when I was met Craig 4 years ago, a long time ago now, I came in knowing, kind of not knowing what that world looked like. And I assumed they were all evil, shady villains, you know, criminals and stuff. And like, like the Black Hat, you know, kind of dudes that get that perception online, like they're full of shit. And I can say 100% hands down that those people in those kind of rooms want to see you eat more than the, you know, fake personas online who are like these real nice people and all this other stuff. But they're the dog eat dog, I think. Like Black Hat, obviously they'll have some of that. I use Black Hat loosely.
Yeah.
What I mean by Black Hat is people who aren't maybe typical SEO, you know, influencers.
Yeah.
I would say when you introduced me to those kind of people, it changed my mindset on how to network, collaborate, help each other.
That's interesting.
And it's I think that's because everybody in those rooms are probably doing well for themselves.
Yeah, but there's only, so in the whole of the UK, right, and I'm just using the UK, there's other markets out there. In the whole of the UK, I can hand on heart probably say I've got 10 or 15 guys who are probably in those rooms that I think I would want to sit and have a beer with.
Yeah.
Like, that's it. There's not hundreds of these people out there.
Yeah, for sure.
There definitely isn't. It's taken years to narrow that group down, you know, and build those relationships. So they're not, it's not that easy to find that. It's definitely not. Obviously, like you say, these guys are all doing well.
Yeah.
They want business. You don't know everything about business. I don't know everything about business. You'll have different experiences, different. So we can all help each other. And that's the way that room is. Like, someone's really good at, I don't know, Pinterest SEO, for example. Right, dude, fucking come and tell us what you're using, what you're doing, what automation you got. We don't give a fuck.
Yeah.
Go fucking use it, Ryan. Go use this, that, and the next thing. We don't care. We're all in.
Trying to make money, right?
Trying to get money from different sources, whether it's you doing clients and PR and, you know, someone over there's got their own affiliate website. You're not trampling in each other's toes. So why would you be a douche?
I think there's a humbleness, though, about it. And the reason being is, I'm going to ask you a question on this. I think people who have failed more than they've won have a humbleness about what it takes to get there.
Yeah.
So my question to you is, one thing I've learned about you over the last 24 hours and even just talking to people like you that I've met in the history of, like, you know, building businesses and stuff like that, is people have a lot of fingers in pies, right? And they often build something and it may get to a scale of a mil, 2 mil, whatever, and then sometimes it can die tomorrow. And then they'll do it again because they learn from that failure. Okay, how do I make sure that doesn't happen again and again and again? And maybe sometimes you've got 10, 15 things going on. It seems like you do.
Yeah.
Would you say you've failed more than you've won?
Yeah.
Or, and like, tell us, like, why and I guess what your learnings are through that.
I've had a lot more failures than I've won. Like the golf website I've spoke about before, the women's clothes, the e-cig, like there's more. Like I've had hundreds of websites and I've invested a lot of money and lost it because of failures. But all you need is one or two winners and you need to double down on it.
Yeah.
You know, one of the biggest things that I have, whether I've got a mental illness or not for this, is I would take on 15 or 20 things.
Yeah.
Believing that...
all of them will work.
They're all going to fucking work.
It's like a little bit of delusion for success, right?
But I think that is what takes... someone put it on LinkedIn and I fucking copied it, put it all over my Instagram. It was basically like, you have to be insane.
Yeah.
I think it is insanity. It's delusional.
You think you're insane, lad?
Yeah, it's delusional.
I think I'm all right.
But it's an insane belief.
Yeah.
It's an insane belief that you can achieve anything. And that's what you had. You had an insane belief that these 15 things are all going to fucking fly off the ground and make you a multimillionaire and happy days.
Yeah. But what the reality is, like two of those 15.
Yeah.
But they're the two that I've spent the most amount of time in. So,
you know, time does then come back with reward, I guess.
Yeah. So it's like anything. If you don't put in the time and the same level of time and effort into things equally, then how can you expect all 15 things to work?
What's that word you used earlier? You called it, I was talking about, you know, when people basically have an idea, build a business, but then some fucker else runs it.
Executor and integrator? Is that what
you messaged me on WhatsApp and you said that's called that.
Oh, rank and rent.
Rank and rent.
Yeah.
Explain what that means.
Rank and rent is like you say, for example, build a website for accountancy firms.
Yeah.
And you generate the leads for accountancy firms. And then you either go and give a percentage of that business to an actual accountant and they can own the business, or you sell the leads to accountants.
I was thinking about something else, essentially.
Rank and rent, you would rank it and then rent the fucking website out to them.
Do you do anything like that?
I used to, yeah.
Right.
What would you say, like...
But that's not scalable.
I was about to say, what...
That's why lead gen is better.
Yeah.
Because you're getting paid per lead, so you're then motivated to spend more in paid or social or whatever you're doing to generate more leads. You get paid more.
Take your portfolio.
Mm-hmm.
Let's have a look at... Split it in between of what percentage is your portfolio or money coming from affiliates, like affiliate sites and businesses, affiliate businesses, drop shipping... or consultancy? Is there anything else, I guess, that's in your little pocket?
Link agency. I've got a few. So, e-com, I've got two big websites.
Okay.
They are the biggest...
for you?
...revenue wise. The consultancies...
Do you spend most of your time on the e-com then?
Yeah. Consultancy's relatively small. Percentage-wise, I would say 5.
Okay.
That.
Okay.
What else did you ask? Affiliate stuff.
Affiliates.
So I've got affiliate websites, but also what I would count in that would be the likes of YouTube promotion and stuff like that.
Yeah, yeah.
Where people pay. It's so not like quite affiliate, stuff. But it's like a kind of brand deal or whatever you want to call it. That probably accounts for maybe 15%.
Okay.
So I do like YouTube. I like, you know, doing that stuff. And then the rest of it's just made up of a mishmash of everything else. So, but the, you know, the two e-com stores are by far and above the biggest revenue streams. So,
and why do you think that is? Is that because you just dedicated the most time to it, or because you the product selection was just right, a bit of luck? Like, is there a formula you think that you could keep doing now that you know what you know?
So the two biggest revenue streams that I've got, I do utilize paid. Okay. I do utilize other affiliates. I do have multiple different traffic sources. So on the gaming one, 63% of the traffic comes from affiliates.
Something mad, that's crazy. You know,
it's
don't you do, am I allowed to say what it is?
No.
Oh, okay.
No.
You told me, I think, of like the overall theme.
Yeah, so for the gaming?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I just don't like seeing that shit publicly. Don't want
world exclusive.
Pissing my fucking pool. Fuck off.
Oh, yeah. Pissing in my pool.
Yeah, I tell him I do plumber lead gen. Fuck you. Go and fucking.
In America, have a look at that.
Go and fucking have a look at that one. Stay away from mine, you dirty dogs. So that particular website was my first proper one that made me real money.
The gaming one?
Yeah.
And that's still going?
Yeah.
And how many times had you failed before that one kicked off?
Oh, I failed loads of things. But remember, I had an agency, failed with clients and all that shit. Yeah. I was basically doing my apprenticeship before I'd done that. Now, with that, what I had recognised is, as an SEO, I just thought everything was revolved around SEO. And then I kind of woke up, you know, get fed up with SEO when I had the agency. And then started to realise there are other traffic sources out there. You know, why am I too ignorant to fucking look at them? So now, you know, you do paid, you do, you know, paid social media, all of that kind of stuff, using influencers.
Yeah.
People who have businesses that do really well just off Instagram.
Mm. Yeah.
You know, and they make decent money.
Look at that one that you were saying earlier about just like 95% of it from Pinterest.
Yeah.
Mad.
So it's, you know, crazy what's out there. So I started to open my eyes up and go, right, you have to build a business, not just a piddly little fucking
SEO site.
That's the biggest difference, and those are real businesses, real companies, real staff, real socials,
everything.
It's a real business, whereas I think some of the other stuff I've had, like the golfing website and stuff, I was fucking goofing around, you know. There was no real persona behind it. Did it have social media? Yeah, it did, but it got posted to once every 3 months. And we all know what happened, you know, with these kind of websites that didn't have, you know, EAT signals and all that kind of stuff. You know, they started to fall off a cliff, but they were not being treated like a real business. So I would emphasize to anyone, you know, if you get a website and you want to invest in whatever niche, treat it like a real fucking business. Because you know how to start a business from scratch, you know.
Well, that's what I've always understood. When people have said to me, oh, I'm making good affiliate money off this site, and I'm like, oh, send me a URL, because I just want to have a look at it. And they send me the URL, and the website looks like absolute dog shit.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It's like the design, the development, like, is fucking crap, and it's just ads everywhere. And I'm like, it's obviously just like a money kind of thing. And I'm like, why wouldn't you want to just build on a proper brand where people go to your site because they want to go to your site rather than they've just, you know, hooked them in through some sort of rankings? I don't know.
Do you think that's just time and capital? Do you think people are lazy?
I don't think they know how to do it.
Do you think?
I think it's, no joke, it's fucking laziness is one of the biggest reasons.
Do you think?
Yeah. Dude, I have done it time and time again, literally dropped shit through consultancy training. Here's what you fucking do, go away and do it.
And no one wants to do it.
No one wants to fucking
do it. Yeah, it's mad.
Now, obviously, capital does come into it as well. Maybe they picked up what I said and twisted it all different ways. You know, you've got an element of that.
Yeah.
But you obviously need money to make money as well. You can't just shit out £1 million turnover businesses with fucking $500. Like, that just can't happen.
Yeah.
It doesn't happen.
Can I ask you a question? So obviously you've been there for so many different agencies that have either come and gone, like even down, like my first agency I used to work at was, second agency was Branded 3, no longer here anymore. They competed with Epiphany. Epiphany competed with Verve Search. There's so many big SEO agencies that literally don't even exist anymore. I guess with the kind of like, I don't know, rise and death of so many different agencies, especially in the SEO, like where do you think agencies are going wrong? You've seen so many and there's new kids on the block now, yeah. including ourselves. I guess what do you think is what they're doing wrong?
We obviously spoke about this earlier. ego comes into play. Staff goes wrong. Staff costs are going through the roof. Staff, you're training them, they bugger off, then it's, you know, you're stuck in that cycle with staff. So I think for me, with agencies, the overhead's the biggest killer. You know yourself, like we looked at your, some of your overheads last night. I'm not going to mention fingers.
Passed out.
Hey, yeah. I make a lot of profit, by the way.
Yeah, she's got a lot of overhead, guys. She's given her fucking office rent's worth more than my fucking full profit for the year. But it's, I think, a lot of agencies have this, and I've spoke to so many agency owners, what are you doing? Why are you doing it?
Yeah.
And people that you are going, I want this big office and I want four offices and I want to swan about like the big I am. And I'm not saying you do that.
Have I ever said that?
But you see people doing it and you're like, you're now at 100 staff. Like this is nervous breakdown material for me. So
I think there's a sanity level and I don't mind admitting there was a period. So 7 mil revenue is what we was doing and essentially... The typical rule for an agency is you have 100 grand revenue per head, meaning if I'm doing 7 mil revenue, I should have around 70 staff. I had 106 at the time. So I had like 36 too many people than I needed. Why was that? Because I was driven by ego. I was driven by, oh my God, I want to look good of all these people in my offices and all that sort of stuff. I am going to admit, we obviously kind of stupidly overhired at the time because it was the pandemic. We was winning clients like no fucking tomorrow. I think we onboarded somebody every Monday.
Yeah.
So we did have two, honestly, it was crazy. So we did was like, come on, fucking bring them in. Like literally like sheep, like bring them into the door. And I remember that moment. And then it kind of started to slow down the market and I kind of looked and thought, fuck. And you could see it hitting the bottom line.
Yeah.
So there was a period where we made about 9 people redundant at the time, so not mass, and the rest of them when they handed the notice in, it was a little bit like, oh shame, bye.
Yeah,
do you know what I mean?
Because it kind of did what you had to do anyway, right?
I had to. Yeah. Like I was not in the market. I remember kind of saying like, I don't really want to do like cutting heads or anything. Like we've made this mistake.
Yeah.
And to be honest, our margins weren't too bad because we had a lot of junior people. Mm-hmm. But I do see, and I'm definitely experiencing it now, and I think so many agencies are, is staff costs are fucking ridiculous. Like I remember when I used to work at Branded 3, salaries ranged anywhere from, you know, starting salary was about 18, 19 grand a year. And then you obviously had your probably director levels at 100 grand a year, something like that. You don't have that anymore.
Yeah.
Starting salaries in agencies now, especially in SEO, you're talking 30 grand.
Yeah.
And within 3 months, they said, can I have 45 grand? Because a competitor is trying to offer me 45 grand. You're like, eh? Do you know how many years it took to me to get 45 fucking grand? Like, it's just crazy. But that's the issue. Like, I saw a post yesterday on LinkedIn, one agency shut down. This guy was obviously consulting with him. And he said, the biggest issue is they're allowing their staff costs to just go sky high because they're afraid to lose staff. And I think ego and staff numbers and all that, sort, having the big offices, is the number one reason. It's just crazy, like absolutely crazy right now.
It's madness, and I'm not going to name names, but obviously I told you about someone who came back to me years later going, you were right, because I was like, dude, what are you fucking doing? Like, these staff on these London salaries, the office overheads and everything else, it just goes wild. And I had it myself, you know, I had a big office and had all these staff. And I didn't even really know what the fucking staff were there for. There was just like this power trip that I was on. Fucking let's get as many staff as I can. Fill up every fucking seat in the office.
Yeah.
And then obviously you'll have had the feeling as well where on a Thursday before payday, you're sitting going, someone needs to pay their invoice or the whole fucking thing's going to collapse. You know, you're sitting there like, fuck. You know, it's already having a turnover, but you're like, and that bank balance is fucking low. So it's not much fun at times. No. And then that's when you start to ask yourself, like, why am I doing this? Is this to make money? Is it to look cool? Is it to be the big boss that swans about and he can fucking give it the old fucking David Brent jokes or whatever? I don't know what David people Brent are doing, jokes. But you're just like, what's going on?
Yeah.
You've not got a fucking pot to piss in. So.
And I think the people side of things is the number one hardest thing.
Yeah. like, any people business, any person, like a business that's dependent on the people.
And that's agencies.
Yeah.
Like if I could run a business now with zero staff, that's everyone's dream.
Yeah.
Like dream.
And I think that's why affiliates are attraction.
Yeah, that's why. And I think one of the biggest things you've got to do is make faster decisions. I've had to make some tough decisions faster than ever before in the last 12 months. But it was the best decisions I've made.
That hire fast, fire faster mentality, right? If someone's not right for the business and they're dragging it back or holding it back, then it's not like they have to go, because I know it's like an emotional thing, a difficult conversation. So it's not like an emotional decision or like an emotionless decision.
Yeah.
Is it right for the business or not?
I'm going to say make a big statement and we can debate.
Craig's like, yeah, go on then.
To be successful,
yep.
Something inside you has to die. I truly believe it.
I think like an emotional side of you?
An emotional side.
Okay.
I think you have to kill something off inside you in order to be successful.
Okay. What do you think that is? Like,
I think I've learned massive lessons where I drove my business with my heart. Okay. And I think, you know, there's a lot of care and love and, you know, me wanting to go on this journey with my friends together to build something successful.
Yeah.
I had to kill that quite fast.
Yeah.
I remember looking at other business owners, you know, like the one that's worth 300, 400 mil.
Yeah.
And like, he didn't give a flying fuck what people said about him online. He was just like, tell me real problems.
Yeah.
These people, I think if you cut them open, their heart is like ice.
Mm.
They have to be like that to kind of succeed. And I'm like, is that what it takes? Like, what does it take to be successful? Like, that is the biggest thing I'm trying to work out. I'm going through that right now.
What would you say to that? Would you agree?
I would agree, yeah, 100%. Like,
you know, it's brutal.
Yeah,
it's,
yeah.
You look at the guy that we were looking at on YouTube last night, Dan Pena.
Yeah.
He talks about, like, Steve Jobs and Warren Buffy or whatever the fuck he's called.
Warren Buffy.
What do all these guys have in common? Mm. They're just fucking ruthless.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Hardest fucking bastards you'll ever come across. And you can't be friends. Yeah. That's just the thing. You've just got to be a horrible, horrible cunt.
No, I hear you.
It's true.
Yeah.
I think, you know, you have to take that emotion. I hate, like, firing someone.
Yeah.
Yeah, I do.
You know, I don't
cried
like
once. I was hoping you could be fired.
You know, firing someone's not nice, you know, but you look at like Gymshark and stuff, that guy that built Gymshark, he's a marketing guy. He employed a CEO.
Yeah, he did.
Because he didn't want to
be that guy.
So
yeah, yeah.
If you
he had to do a bit of growing up, learning and all that sort of stuff.
He was a young kid, wanted to just stick around in the marketing department with his mates.
Yeah.
Whereas you said, I wanted to be the owner, but I wanted to have my mates and all that shit. Whereas you potentially should have hired someone maybe older, more experienced to fucking keep you in check.
I am doing that now. So it's really interesting, the journey I've gone on in the last 12 months. Like, I hired an MD 12 months ago. You know, my job is to literally pass the reins of the business and go, right, go hit that EBITDA number. Let me know on the first of every month. Thumbs up. That's the dream of a
just
CEO,
a WhatsApp,
right?
Just once a month.
Like, don't talk to me any other day. Just
send
let
me the
know.
Profit and fuck off. <God. laughs>
Did we hit it? No. That's the dream of a CEO. Obviously, no, I fucking literally do everything every single day. Writing notes, I'm on every pitch. I'm like, let's do this, let's do that.
She's in my dreams.
But obviously, I handed over the reins of running the day-to-day, the people side, the operations, the HR, the fucking shit I don't want to have to deal with. And that didn't work out. You know, there's times where I've met people that, you know, you think that they're going to be the guy or the girl, and they're not. I'm now in a position where I've got another guy in place, and this person already, you know, in the last, he's only been here, what, 4 months? He's already, like, increased my EBITDA by 11%, which is a lot, by the way, per month.
Can I ask what an EBITDA is?
It's a terrible word, isn't it?
What the fuck is that?
It's just profit.
Right.
It's the scientific number, the financial, the numerical number.
Can we not just call it profit?
I don't really know, because I think profit and EBITDA is actually meant to be different.
Don't look at me. You guys are the CEOs. Like,
all I know is EBITDA is the actual, it's, you know, the vanity and sanity. Sanity is like, how much actual money are you making? The EBITDA is the actual, you know, the money I take home.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's the number you care about.
Yeah.
That's your profit number, yeah.
I've never heard that technology before.
All I know
Carrie's
is
waiting for the WhatsApp, and she's like, yes.
She said that a couple of times, and I'm like,
oh, really?
But when she talks, I don't understand a lot of what she fucking says. Now that's really
I've got to give context. I've got to give context to this, because you've only, you've been in front of Carrie for like 12 hours max.
Yeah.
And how many times have you said to her, what the fuck did you just say?
Yeah. You talk fast, right?
Do I actually? I thought you talk fast.
Nah.
You think I talk fast?
Come on, lad. You can understand me better than her.
I'm used to both of you. You've got a definitely a higher energy level than Craig, but Craig also talks very fast.
But I think it's also because he's Scottish and it sounds faster.
Yeah, true, yeah. And you say
I actually
a lot,
did talk really fast then, didn't I?
And you've got slang.
Yeah, so you got to like understand it. Yeah, you say stuff, I've never heard that word before.
Well, like pish.
Yeah.
Yeah. What does that mean, piss?
Yeah.
So I need a pish.
Hoose. Yeah. Hoose is my favourite.
Hoose.
Get out of my hoose.
I've got my hoose.
Yeah, my
Bogga.
Hoose.
What?
My best mate, she's Scottish, she's from Glasgow, and she says bogga.
Bogga.
Mother.
Mother.
Bobby.
What's that?
Bobby. Booby. What's the one?
Bobby.
Yeah.
What's that?
Boobs. No. Bobby.
Bobby.
Poo. Tadger. A poo. Fucking poo.
That's a jobby.
I have no idea.
We did have some questions though for you.
Yeah.
Have we asked them? I don't think we asked them.
I've asked one question.
Because I want to get to the nitty gritty. Because we've tried to not ask him SEO questions because we want to get him out.
There
of
is one
gear.
Question.
Okay.
So obviously one of the things that you were saying earlier, the big reason why SEO agencies are failing, or even agencies, is just talent. There's just not the skill set there anymore. Blah blah. So let's talk about skill set in SEO.
Mm-hmm.
Like, do you think there's a lack of skill set in the industry? And what I really want to get to is, here's a big question for you to answer while you think about this. Are you actually a real SEO if you've never built a site from scratch? From zero? Zero traffic?
In my opinion, no, you're not a real SEO. We spoke about this earlier. You know, if I inherit the Ladbrokes account.
Yeah.
Which is a DR
90.
90.
Yeah.
Which I backed in, by the way.
Then, no. You know, could I stick a shitty 200 word blog post on there and get it to pop for some really competitive terms? Of course I can.
Because it's got the fucking power, years of power,
authority,
yeah.
Easy peasy.
Yeah, yeah.
So you can do some basic level shit.
And improve.
And you get the improvement, you go, yeah, I'm the big dog. You've done it for years and years. I've done the, you know, this big account. You're like, dude, come on, man.
Yeah.
Like fucking 20 other guys have worked on that fucking years prior to you, motherfucker.
It
you
is
can't
true.
Take credit.
No, I openly admit to you guys, like when I was agency side before I went and did my own thing, it's easy to hide behind that stuff because Google algorithm will kick in and it's like, oh, a little uptick. It's like, that's mine.
That was me.
Yeah. That was me. Oh, thank you very much. Yeah. And then when you're like, the buck stops with you, and clients like, what have you done? Show me the specifics. And there's a smaller site. Every pound has some sort of ROI. And if you can't prove it, your neck is on the fucking line.
Yeah.
So you have to learn. And a lot of that is not through force, well, kind of through force a little bit. Because if you don't figure it out, you're in the fucking bin.
Yeah, gun to your head, can't you?
Yeah.
You're out.
All I would really say to people, and I'm not trying to do a big ego trip or anything for me, but I built a personal brand from fucking nothing. I built numerous different websites from zero to making a lot of money.
Yeah.
I don't give a fuck what anyone says. You know, that's hard work. You built a personal brand from zero and, you know, you've done all your stuff and probably some of the stuff's wrong and, you know, you blow shit up and you make things up. There's so many SEOs out there with big fucking opinions that have never built a fucking website on their own. They're hiding behind
the DR90s.
The DR90s. So for me, I'm not, you know, dismissing, you know, people not doing good work or anything like that, but I just think it's very easy to hide behind a high-profile company that's got a lot of brand search and done 25 years of fucking offline marketing prior to SEO becoming a thing.
Yeah.
You know, that's, you can't take the full credit.
I think there's a lack of respect for people that can build something from zero. Yeah. And what I mean by that is not just a website, but even a business, anything.
Yeah.
I remember Carl, so Carl's my chief commercial officer. He's my number two, basically. He's running the business.
Whoa.
Number two. you're like, wow. Wait.
Hold on a minute, that's what she told me. We've got a problem with
everyone.
I'm flipping the table.
I was coming in as CCO and I'm the fucking lad.
But he made a statement once. He was basically saying like, there's a reason why we're all in no, like, you know, derogatory way. He said it in an absolute respectful way, but he said, there's a reason why I'm, you know, a 40-year-old man and, you know, he's a 55-year-old man working for a 30-year-old girl in SEO because she's the one that's created P&L out of fucking thin air. She's the one that's built a business from zero to $7 million overnight, scaled it to the US. Have you guys done that? Like, that's what he actually said. He said these to some of my directors and MDs and all that. Have we done that? He says, there's a reason I'm here because I fucking tried it and I failed. And I think it's the same with SEO sites. Like, have a bit of respect. Have you guys done that? Have you scaled from something from zero to $2 million, you know, site visits a month or a year or whatever the hell it is? Like, I just think it is the hardest thing to get built from thin air. Maybe you've taken a site from then $2 million to $10 million or, to, you know, $2 million to $30 million, whatever. But yeah, try building from zero is probably the biggest hurdle.
There's one other guy I know. I'm not going to name names. There's several of these guys out there, actually, that spend 50K a month of someone else's money and call themselves a good SEO. That's not good SEO either. That, you know, that's... I'm not buying that.
Yeah.
You've got to get creative. You've got to...
With low budgets.
Yeah, with low budgets. That is where you have to become creative. You've no fucking option.
Got a story for that. So I was obviously scaling my digital PR team. I got it to one of the biggest in the UK. Like, I think I had 55, 60 people building links all at once, right? And I needed to start diversify different kind of skill sets. Essentially, I got hired by this agency in Manchester. I can't even frigging remember what it was called, so I'll just go with it. But about they had like 100 staff, and I was like, oh, I've never heard of you guys, but like gone under the radar a little bit. And there's like, can you come train us how to build links? Yeah, sure. So they paid me over like a training day. No joke. I sat around a table, like, honestly, it was like five times bigger than this table, but there was probably 40 people sat around it all trying to build links. So I said, right, I was like, give me just an overview of like typical budgets. Cause I wanted to see like how creative I could be with this training. Cause I was like, right, how big do they go or small, whatever. And there's like, you know, typical agency budgets are like £800 a month or something. I went, wait, what? I was like, so £800 like to like per day, is it your day rate? And they're like, no, like £800 per month to do digital PR. £800 a month. That's wild. Oh, you're telling me? I went, yeah, I was like, how many clients you all got? Uh-huh. And one girl sat in the little corner, she was like, oh, well, I personally work on 22 accounts. I was like, what? I was like, what?
£4 a link.
Yeah, but I was just like, tell me, like, what sort of campaigns do you do? Do you do assets? Do you do design? How much time do you spend on outreach? How the fuck do you do that with £800 a month? Yeah. Like, how? Do you know what I ended up doing? I hired her. I said, if you can do that with £800 a month, imagine what she could do with £20 a month.
Yeah.
Imagine what she could do with £20 a month. Yeah. You know, it's typical what some of our clients pay. Yeah. And I was just like, so these kind of like creative mindsets of being able to use good budgets to, you know, get a good ROI or whatever with just link building digital PR. I remember thinking, this is smart. This is, you know, obviously she wants to improve her life and not have 21 clients. Yeah. She works on four of our biggest ones now, but bigger budgets, but she's working really smart. What do they say? Work smarter, not harder. Yeah. It's crazy.
Always employ the lazy person because I figure out how to make it easy, right?
And then, was she successful?
Yeah, she's still there. She's one of our most senior people. She runs Pretty Little Things.
That's a underdog story. That is.
Yeah, it is.
I like that.
And she's still working for £800 a month.
Yeah. Craig's like, what's her name? Craig was swooping in, dirty dog.
No, yeah. So I think, yeah, I agree on the whole small budget thing. Like, I remember my first client was Ladbrokes, funny enough. and yeah, the budget was just crazy. You're talking 70 to 100K a month, I think we were spending on SEO. And I remember not really knowing how to spend it.
Yeah.
Because it was that, you know, it was fucking money thrown at the wall.
Yeah.
It was crazy.
It's a good problem to have, isn't it?
Oh, yeah.
And you're like, oh.
Oh, you got to do some real damage with that.
Even that was like years ago.
You know, buying 3 out of the 6 things you were buying, whether that be content links, whatever. 3 of them could be dog shit.
Yeah.
You're doing enough with that budget to
make the needle move.
Some growth.
Yeah. Okay, now.
So again, you're not really doing great work. You need to know how to spend that money.
Yeah.
And then how to double down on it. And
I think that's what you're really good at.
Yeah.
That's what I think.
What's that?
Craig is really good at figuring out like what works without burning through cash and then being like a fucking dog with a bone with it. He'll double down, triple down, you know, and then...
I'm just not a believer. I take it like it's my money I'm fucking spending. I can't afford to fucking burn through 100K a month.
Just
to try shit out, just because someone fucking fancies digital PR this month. Fuck me. It has to... It's the work. Yeah. There's only so many blows I can take.
I think also, so for me, it's really interesting. I think one of the, when I started Rise, obviously being a founder myself, like every penny counted. Like yeah. I was constantly looking at what was going in, what was going out. And I remember when I was working with clients, I remember winning this one account specifically. It was a startup that was about to launch. They relied on us for that launch. And it had to work. Yeah. Like we had to give him the money back that, you know, that he deserved. And that campaign didn't work, by the way. There was multiple reasons why. But I remember thinking, like, I remember him saying, like, oh, like, having a tough conversation with me, like, what do I do? You know, I ain't really got the investment. I gave him his money back. I was just like, but I was just like, if that was me, I'd be dying inside. Do you know what I mean? Like, what?
I'd take some balls to do as well.
Yeah, yeah. And to be honest, the failure of that campaign at the time, it was neither any of our faults. It was, there was a massive issue with the product. You couldn't advertise on Instagram and we were trying to do paid ads and all this shit. It was just one of them, you know what I mean? Tech issue. But it fucked everything.
So
I remember kind of, I had like the empathy to think, well, I'm a business owner.
Yeah.
If that was my 50 grand, that all I had to run this big campaign that I thought I was going to get, you know, several hundred thousands of visits to my site and it didn't work out, then I'd be gutted.
That's humility right there.
Oh, yeah.
That's sucking it up and being like, look, I fucked this up.
Yeah.
And I think a lot of the people who, you know, I've seen them all come up, like freelancers, they would just ride that shit until that person went, you know, out of pocket, bankrupt almost. You know what I mean?
You lose your fucking house.
They would pull the pants right off you.
Yeah. That's why some SEOs are fucking animals.
Yeah.
They'd literally fucking have you in the street.
Do you know any people that are proper animals?
Yeah.
Fucking rhyme off all fucking
man. I'm looking forward to the day when Craig sails into the sunset.
There will be a day.
Yeah, and I'm looking forward to it.
Right, gonna tell me the day when you sail into the sunset.
What's the master plan?
What should we expect?
How big is your list?
The list is considerable in size. No, it's not endless. It's not endless. Like, real list, there's a good 20 people on it, man.
Yeah?
Oh, yeah.
I love that.
And one day...
What are you going to do, call them out?
You're going to write a book.
I'll write a book. I will fucking expose...
The industry.
Yeah. Not the industry. Not fair to disrupt other people's businesses or ways of making money, but there's a few guys that are on...
Thin ice. List
that are Yeah, you're on fucking thin ice.
Do you think they know they're on the list? Do you think they're listening to this knowing, fuck, I think I'm on that list?
Do you want a name drop?
Listen, we've all got a fucking list. Let's not lie.
Yeah, true.
I have got a list.
You have got a list.
There is a list. I'm not going to name names just now, but I would imagine that some people will think they may be in the list. They're probably not because
they've done
I respect
of,
the
you
fucking...
You actually not that bothered,
done.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm not that arsed. And there are people on that list where you've maybe done a small thing that really got my fucking tits. And it might...
fall off the chair.
And it might have been fucking...
By accident
10 years ago, you may have not even meant it.
He's still living it.
Oh no, it's still in the fucking notepad. So there will be
a moment
where
of justice
people, yeah, my justice. I feel like I have to get it off my chest. Yeah.
When do you think that's coming? How many years do you think?
Yeah, how long do you think you got left?
Give me a couple more years, man.
Do you reckon?
Couple,
yeah.
And then you're done.
You want this like next month or something?
It's got a good ChatGPT to
like,
write it first.
10 years, 15 years.
Nah, I'm not fuck it then.
Craig's 51 already.
Oh yeah.
No.
How old are you?
43.
So what age do you think you're gonna hang your fucking SEO hat up? Your black hat up?
Yeah, your top hat.
Maybe I could maybe cling on till I'm about 50 for dear life.
Yeah, I'd be dear life.
I don't think I've got a huge amount of time left. Well, I mean, I'll still work and I'll still have businesses.
But just not in this.
But just that I'm out with a personal brand.
Yeah.
Fucking.
I don't give a fuck. Burn me to the ground all you want.
I'm out.
I'm burning you first. Yeah. So, yeah, we'll see. But obviously, you know, sometimes you sit there really angry and you're like, I'm going to fucking expose as much as I can. And you're like, nah, it's going to fuck up loads of other people's
businesses.
It's going
to fuck up my plans.
So, there's a few horrors that...
Have you got things on people?
Yeah. Well, I'm a fucking dog.
I've got things on people.
I know you guys have.
Oh, I've got real fucking...
Little black book.
But
I've got things on people that they don't even know I know.
But I've got things in people that I've added bits to as well.
What do you mean? Like, really?
Ceded to fucking the industry over the last few years. So there's big bits added on as well. So
what, like real bits?
No,
or
not? Oh, no, I've just made some bits up as well.
You've got to have legitimacy.
Well, no, I've got
it started off real.
There's bits of it are real.
But then you just exaggerate.
I've just built up round about it so that
Yeah.
Let's see, creative. Ryan. Right. Let's see, it's Ryan.
Before this goes on, this is not real, whatever he's about to say.
but if it was Ryan, he's done something. I've got dirt on him. So I'm going to tell that.
To the world.
To the world.
Yeah.
But there will be other add-ons. Yeah. He's done one thing. He might as well take the blame for five, as far as I'm concerned. So,
basically, you're going down fucking
hard. Yeah. There's no comeback.
And you'll be in the comments on Twitter. I'll be sitting with a fucking cigar.
Watching me burn.
Watching you fighting for your life in the comments. It wasn't fucking me. He's lying.
wasn't it me?
So you
see my Twitter deleted everything.
I think I'm gonna have that moment.
What, like just kick off?
Oh yeah.
Yeah. No, a mic drop somewhere as well. Fucking mic's going down. I'm just gonna start fucking shouting and saying shit about people, man.
I don't know whether mine will be like a book. Or just like
you should do it at like a major SEO conference.
I stood on stage just like, do you know what?
At the biggest one in the world.
Do you none of us are going to get an invite to any major
no,
SEO
not now.
Conference.
We fucked it.
Maybe this one. They were bluffing. They're fucking doing it now, next month in Dubai.
If you see Carrie and Craig at the same conference, as an issue.
Run.
Yeah.
Run. But it'll make for good reading.
To be fair, I don't have enough on... I've got enough on two people probably that I would fucking burn to hell.
Yeah.
But...
this took name a names? Real dark yeah no. Name drop
is it a male or female,
does it rhyme with anything?
No. But I feel like over the next 10 years I'm gonna have more, do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Someone actually always says you need to go on that diary with CEO, and I said nah, I ain't got a fucking middle or end yet, I'm just starting, mate.
Yeah.
I ain't got, you know when people tell their story, I'm like, I ain't got a middle or end yet, I'm just building up me, so give me.
No, I've got fucking countless dozens.
Your stories are endless.
Yeah, you literally every 10 minutes you've been like, I've got stories.
Closets,
for that.
Man. Fucking.
You've got what?
I've got everyone's skeletons and everything.
I mean, even some of the things you've said in the last 24 hours are pretty deep.
Really?
Yeah, come on, man.
Right, let's tell him some things that we've heard about him, and you've got to tell him us whether it's real or not.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah?
Yeah, that's I like that.
Right, go.
Okay. I heard that you've got 3 children in Belize. True or false?
Belize?
That's bullshit.
Okay.
You've actually heard that?
Yeah.
Just in case my wife's watching.
Yeah. have you heard that rumour before?
No.
I just made that up.
He just made that one.
Right, I've got one for him.
Yep.
I've heard you was using Sticky Eyes' tools for free to scale sites. Is that true or false?
That is complete fabrication, but I believe that Sticky Eyes told Ryan that I was using their tools. Why would I use Sticky Eyes, these fucking poxy tools? I will never know. I phoned up the guy, I'm like, dude, why are you fucking bringing my name into this
Did
problem?
You actually?
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm like, Ryan, fucking, you know, you've got Craig Campbell using our internal tools. I'm like, it'd be nice if I fucking knew about them. Like, what fucking poxy tools have you guys got? So I phoned the guy, I'm like, dude, why are you fucking bringing me into your own internal argument? Your guy wants to leave, like, fucking why are you trying to pull me into it? I actually phoned the guy and I'm like, what the fuck are you doing?
Oh really?
That was funny.
So yeah,
how did you get the number? Was it like LinkedIn?
I don't fucking know,
because he was like, oh, what's the guy's name? And I told him, and then like 30 minutes later I get a message, oh no, you called me, like, oh, I've just spoken to XYZ,
yeah,
telling him this, that, and he goes, oh, shit, he's fucking pants. It's like, I'm really sorry. Please don't drag our name through the mud, blah, 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 blah. At the time, it was a different agency name, by the way. I'm not going to say it. But one of the funniest moments of my entire career.
I don't understand why my name even came up. Like, what the fuck have I got to do?
It goes back to what we said at the start. Like, there was a perception of you because people didn't believe you as a legitimate businessman. They considered you like a fucking shyster, back alley boy.
I'm a bit of that. Sweet.
You're a bit of that. Yeah. You know, it's got a little bit of a balance. And they didn't like the fact that I was friendly with you.
Yeah.
Because I was still at the agency. And obviously, I wanted to leave the agency. And I think they knew that it was because I wanted the lifestyle and I'd been introduced to you. And so they didn't like it.
So the answer is no. I did not touch your fucking poxy tools, okay, Sticky Eyes? Just so you know. And if I hear you utter those words again, Sticky Eyes.
Coming for you.
I'm coming for you. And I remember your name.
What, Sticky Eyes, or the guy's name?
The guy's name.
Yeah, yeah.
It rhymes with bitch.
Mitch.
His name's not Mitch.
But... It's not Mitch. It rhymes with bitch.
Does it?
Yeah.
Anyway, enough good. Said.
Yeah.
Oh, no.
What other rumours have you heard?
the main one. I heard you've got no money.
That's true. I'm fucking you skint, all talk.
Do you need a loan, lad?
That's why we've got Carrie up here. Sugar mummy.
I need to lend money off you.
Anytime I mention money to Carrie, there's this £3,000 figure that I'm trying to get. And she keeps ignoring the question, so...
Where did that £3,000 number come from? Can't remember.
She knows. Right, move on. Next question.
Carrie's eyes like, please move on.
I don't need £3,000, by the way. It's him that needs £3,000.
It's Craig. So we've got two. Any more rumours you've heard
what
about
What other rumours?
I haven't really heard a lot of rumours, to be honest. Craig keeps, for some reason, he dodges that.
I heard you're banned from Brighton SEO.
Yeah.
True or false? Technically.
Because
you punched someone.
No, we need to cover this. Someone tried to punch my wife and I retaliated. But somehow, I've not been invited back ever to Brighton SEO. So, yeah, I think I can't remember. I'd need to dig out the email, but it basically said...
You can't come back.
You can't come back, yeah.
Did you reply to it?
I may have actually, I can't remember.
The entire tweet thread about it.
Did
it?
I don't know.
Nah.
I just made that up.
You know, obviously, the fella that runs Brighton SEO, he's got a job to do.
Yeah.
He backed the people that were complaining, fucking throwing punches at my wife rather
Why
than the guy
Why
were
they throwing punches at your wife?
Because I do Black Cat SEO. I don't know.
What the fuck is going on?
The fuck's happening here? Someone's like, I'm going to punch that fucking black cat off your head. Like, what? I still to this day have no idea why any of that happened. But I never got an invite back. So, so that's kind of true. But it's the can I see it? The woke crowd. I've got the ability to talk.
I'm about to say.
Edit this out. But yeah, the woke crowd. The woke crowd. The kind of blue hair.
You're saying
brigade.
Woke, by the way. Not woke.
Yeah, woke. The wokies. They just weren't having any of it, man. And I'm the devil. So,
Craig Campbell, the devil.
What can I do?
There's only so much you can do, lad.
Yeah. So
I've got one question.
Go on then.
You have top five positions.
On Google?
No. Who are you putting in the top five of SEOs that you've ever met?
Fuck's sakes, lad.
Jesus.
You fucking sprung that one on me.
Yeah.
top five SEOs that I've ever met.
Mm-hmm. Cool.
I'm definitely in the top one.
I knew he was going to. I was like, wait, is it? He's going to have to think about it.
Yeah.
The reason that this is a really difficult question is some of the guys that you would maybe perceive to be in the top SEO categories, I wouldn't consider to be SEOs.
What do you consider them as? Like
businessmen,
yeah,
or marketing guys. They know what to do. Do they do the day-to-day grunt work anymore?
Nah.
So, you know, when I look at, you know, the top five SEOs, do I look at this from a who makes the most money? Do I look at this who's the most business savvy? Who can make the fastest website? Who's the best at audits? There's so many other little things where you could go, nah, someone should be there, someone else should be there. Mm. You know, a guy like Neil Patel has made the most money in the world and everyone hates him.
Yeah.
For I don't know why, by the way. I don't know why they hate him. The guy's allegedly worth $500 million now.
Really?
Yeah.
So
what else does he own? Does he just own the SEO agency? Or?
His personal brand. He's got everything.
He's tools. He's fingering all sorts of shit, man.
Yeah.
Like, talk about the fingerer.
This
guy's...
Is that his
fucking
nickname?
Yeah. Fingers. No, just fingers and pies. I don't know what you guys are talking about.
I know, yeah.
but... We may need to clip that bit out, right? But anyway, she just looked at me like you dirty bastard.
No, I was, it was him. He was like.
So, Neil Patel would have to be
number two.
Okay. And just to be clear, I'm not worth 500 million. Just we'll get that bit right.
Yeah.
You know, guys like Diggity do well. He's made a lot of money.
So number three?
Yeah, we'll have Diggity up there.
Yeah.
Matthew Woodward, I was always a big, big fan of. When big I was running my Woodward. Agency, he was living the affiliate life. So he's the kind of guy that inspired me to do other things. Obviously, he's sailed off into the sunset and is relatively quiet now.
Yeah.
But I'm not going to see all of these guys. You know, there are slots. So number five could be a number of different people. So you get guys in the SEO industry that are really good at certain things. And it'd be unfair to say they're not good SEOs, but they're just really good at, whether it be technical, whether it be content, whatever.
Yeah.
So there is a whole bunch of people that I've met that have improved me or given me knowledge or whatever it might be. So there are people where I've taken a lot of value from. I'm not going to say he's an SEO, but Big Dooley,
Big Dooley
probably deserves a space up there. You know, I think he's very knowledgeable in SEO. I would consider himself to be more of a businessman than an SEO. Has he given knowledge? Yes. Does he make money? Yes. Is he the most technical guy, you know, in site speed? Probably not. But, you know, overall, over the years that I've known him, he probably deserves a wee shout out.
Yeah.
He's
relentless, isn't he?
Oh, he's relentless. Who?
James Dooley.
No, he will fucking...
Where does he live?
Manchester, I think, isn't it?
Yeah. He's a mad fucker. You know, he invests in stuff, buys tools. I mean, the guy's got fucking race horses and everything. So I've probably picked up a lot of tips from someone like Dooley. And, you know, someone you can pick up the phone to and get advice from, or what do you think of this and what do you think of that? And he's a guy that will say, I fucked this up.
Yeah.
Not one of those guys, yeah, you have to do it this way. So even yesterday or whatever it was, I had a voice clip from Dooley and he's like, I fucking invest in SaaS tools. He says, you know, he's investing X amount of money for X percentage. He went, fucking affiliates are earning more than the fucking tool owners. He says there's fucking 30-40% being fucking sent out to the affiliates. The fucking owners are sharing 20% between five guys or whatever. He's like, I'm doing this all fucking wrong.
Yeah.
So, it's just the way he said it on the phone with a big Manchester accent. Like, I'm an investor and I mean, fuck all. Like, we need to fucking change this.
Sort this out.
Yeah. So I've got to laugh because he's a guy, like I said before, several times, that just tries shit and blows shit up. He's not been successful in everything he's done. He's got a whole bunch of success stories.
Yeah.
But if you sit with a guy, he will tell you shit that's blown up, shit that's fucking fell off a cliff, tools that's fucking, you know, fucked his websites up. So he's had a lot of fuck ups as well. So I always enjoy hearing from him, but I wouldn't call him a top influencer in the SEO space. He's now starting to do speaking gigs and all that stuff. I think he fancies a wee shot and see what it feels like. But that would be the kind of...
I think that's a really good list.
Yeah.
I haven't met Diggity or Woodward. I've met Dooley.
Yeah.
I've spoken to Dooley a whole bunch. Massive respect for what he's done as a business person. So I thought he would be in there.
Yeah.
I did think he'd be in there.
I think it'd be unfair not to have a guy like that.
Yeah, he's...
He does well. He makes money. He ticks a lot of the boxes that you might look for.
It's a bit like you as well. Like, you guys, I would imagine, could, if you wanted to, fuck it all off. But like, the love of the game and the chase and the journey and whatever is probably keeping you in it.
Oh, he does some stuff for fun.
Yeah.
You know, there's absolutely no doubt about that. You're just like, why are you getting involved with this? Like, what? But yeah, I think he just likes to...
Blow shit up.
Yeah, blow it. Yeah, that's all you can say. Just get your... Ross Tavendale once says to me, he says, I can't remember, I was texting him and he's like, I said I'm out with the lads and all that stuff, and he's like, the monsters, he refers to that crowd
as monsters,
as the monsters of the industry, which is quite funny. So
I love that.
Yeah. The monsters are number five, not just Dooley.
Like the whole group, the band.
Yeah.
The band of monsters. Yeah. I'm looking forward to Carrie meeting them.
Oh, yeah.
Are you excited about meeting them?
Oh, yeah.
That's brilliant. I can't wait.
Yeah, we're going to.
Introduce her, like, slowly, though.
Yeah.
You've got to protect Carrie. Why slowly? Because we're protective of you.
Do you feel like they'll, like, hammer me?
Yeah.
No, they wouldn't hammer you.
Come on, lad, scare her a little bit. Come on.
You just need... What do you mean, scare her?
Scare her a little bit. Come on.
No, no, these can be scary monsters at times. But I think you just need to just dip in a little bit.
Little toe. Yeah.
There's a few bites there.
Yeah. A couple of piranhas.
I like monsters, though. I like people like that.
I can just see Carrie going...
Yeah.
Come at me. Yeah, literally.
I'm Carrie Rose. Come on.
I like, you know, like peculiar characters.
Yeah.
I usually like people that everybody else hates. You know, on social media or in, like, you know, when you hear rumors, oh, I fucking hate him, or he's a prick or whatever, and I'm like,
yeah. You gravitate towards it a little bit.
Oh, I gravitate to people that people
what
I hate.
What do you think it is? Is it because they're, like, normally polarizing people? Like, they're either people love them or hate them because they're, like, controversial.
No. Because they're different.
Because they're different.
I think it's, I'm going to argue with you and I'm going to tell you why I think it is you like that.
Why?
It's your upbringing. Like, if you're brought up with that kind of no bullshit talk from the
people around you and stuff.
Yeah, I think you're like, man, no one's doing that shit anymore. So when you see it, you're like,
that's the
way the people I've seen. Yeah. We're not talking like there was no fucking around. Yeah. You know, they just fucking.
There was this there was this PM in project manager. It sounds fucking shit story, but the project manager in my old business, not my business, but when I used to work at, everyone fucking hated him. He was the most hated person in the business. I loved him.
What was he hated for? Just
because he was just the no guy. He was the one that called you out with bullshit, or if you weren't, you was running a campaign that didn't make any profit.
Yeah.
But I was like, oh, come on, I want to work with you, because he just taught me so much.
Cuts the shit.
Yeah, and you need them people in life. And that's what I think you are, right? Like, I gravitated towards him because I was just like, I hate the fluffy shit of people.
You're probably comfortable around that way of talking.
Yeah, I am. Not a lot of people are. It brings me comfort. Yeah, yeah.
People aren't comfortable with that shit.
Yeah.
People think that people who blow smoke up, if I'm best friends with you, for example, and I think everything you do is amazing, is that really a good friend?
No.
Or if I call you out, like, Carrie, that's fucking bullshit.
You told me something straight yesterday.
Did I?
In the car.
I can't remember.
You was like, I don't want to offend you.
Oh, right. Yeah. I'm very conscious of that shit, but I will, you know, I do it all the time to people.
Yeah.
Like, my circle's this fucking big, by the way.
I welcome it. Nothing really offends me that much. Like, sometimes, you know, you have to swallow your pride or whatever.
Yeah.
But then there's feedback that I have to hear, but I love it. I'm like, good. Like, I've been thinking about what you said.
Yeah.
And I agreed with it. I said, yeah, that's something I've thought about myself. And I know that is, you know, good fucking feedback, good value to me.
Yeah.
But I appreciate that. And that's the same with that PM guy. He told people straight and I loved it.
Yeah.
I'm like, well, we're not going to turn this project into something making no profit or profit without you calling out someone's bluff. Do you know what I mean? People like that.
Campaigns and fucking businesses die because people just are afraid hearing the truth or telling the truth.
I actually think that's one of the biggest cultural issues in businesses right now. Yeah. They're afraid to take on
harsh feedback
and tough conversations. There's tough conversations of giving because I think we've got junior people having tough conversations. They don't know how to do it. Yeah. They're afraid of it, whatever. But there's also on the other side of that is people that can't take fucking feedback.
Yeah.
Afraid. And do you know what? Sometimes I think I've got people in my business that if I said to them just some constructive feedback, I think they'd hand the notice in.
I think it is.
Because they can't take it. It's like, oh my God, they throw the towel in. Yeah. Do you know what I mean? They'll be like, ah, what? You're telling me I'm shit? I'm not telling you shit. I'm just saying this one thing you need to improve.
I think when people recognise, like, because you wouldn't do that unless you cared or gave a fuck.
Yeah. My mum said to me, or she always taught me, tough conversations are kind conversations.
Yeah.
If I didn't care, I wouldn't be telling you.
It's coming from a place of love, isn't it?
Yeah, it is.
It's like, I want you to do better because I don't want you to be out on your ass.
Yeah.
And I'm giving you the opportunity here, and it means I have to tell you this, because if I don't tell you this, you're going to end up finding it very difficult to continue on. You know what I mean? Yeah.
Because I personally, I think I'm quite a calm leader. I'm pally with people, blah, blah. There's very, I can't ever, I can't imagine remembering any scenario where I've shouted.
Mm.
But that video you showed us last night, what was his name?
Dan Pena.
So that's the first time I've heard of him.
Yeah.
But
he's wild,
his style of leadership, obviously, he's just like...
He's effective.
By the way, he's a billionaire.
He's a billionaire. Is he? Yeah. What do they call him? What's his nickname? The Trillionaire Man or something like that?
Yeah, a trillionaire.
Because what did he do? He
built so many businesses.
Dodgy, like, oil contracts back in the 1980s.
Well, he's, like, shouted at people saying, you're fucking useless. Yeah. You're pussies. His you're not making decisions. Like, it's like, and obviously people are like, fuck.
Yeah. Ow. But then the people who, like, do you know what? You're right. Normally go off and, because you did it to me. Like, let's be real. When I first met Craig and I was working at an agency, he was kicking my fucking ass.
At the old agency?
Yeah, not this one. This is like four years ago. And I was like, initially I was like, fucking dickhead, didn't know what he's talking about. Like, hurt my feelings.
Yeah, of course it will, yeah.
And then I was like, actually, he's fucking right. And then I went on to build a business and do really well for myself. And if it wasn't for Craig, I would have been around the same people saying the same shit, same problems, crying about, you know, whatever it is. And it's like, sometimes you need like that reality check. And we spoke about it yesterday about becoming a man, or in some cases, a woman, or whatever it is that you need to become to understand that difficult conversations need to fucking happen.
Yeah.
And it's normally because someone wants you to do better.
I think it's because a lot of people put their success, business success, career success, in other people's hands.
Yeah.
But so the quote is that I was telling you about, there's a moment in a boy's life where they realise no one's coming.
Yeah.
No one's coming to make that decision for you to go and build that business or take risks or, you know, say no to that fucking whatever opportunity because it's, you know, taking up too much of your time. It's pointless for you. There's a moment in a boy's life where they realise no one's coming, and that's when they turn into a man. And it's the same with a female.
Yeah.
There was a moment in my life where I realised no one's coming. No one's coming to make me happy, to make me successful, to pack my bags at 17 and say, go fucking sort your life out and go, you know, strive for something better. No one's coming. So it's all in your hands. And I think often I have to remind myself, like, whether it's relationship breakups, whether it's business, whatever, no fucker is coming. It's all on me. My success, my happiness, my health, anything is all in my hands. And I think that is so important.
Agreed. That's a solid ending as well.
Yeah.
I think I should be a motivational speaker.
Do you reckon?
Yeah.
You'd have to slow right down, though.
Yeah.
Do you think?
I'd have to even
to Craig's just like,
I'm demotivated.
We're going to need the fucking demo.